205 DGS on KMOX. Going to be another warm, blustery day. Storms moving through late tonight. See, we don't need Dave Murray.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to handle this.
So, bonfire,
grill,
chocolate,
weather.
All at once.
The big four. That's my Mount Rushmore.
can I jump in with something? Yeah. What the hell was that song?
I know.
Oh, that's a great song.
It was like screeching whale noises, and I look over.
It's just a little instrumental from Van Halen. All it is.
Rachel is laughing, but Dave and Kevin are like nodding.
Head
like,
bobbing.
Well, I was trying to like groove along with it because, you know, I want to fit in. I want to enjoy the Van Halen with the boys. Like, but I'm just like, I can't even find a way to enjoy
this. It's the lead into Pretty Woman.
It's like a drum beat and then like.
So, are you saying that our music is just noise?
Yeah.
Mom and Dad.
This rock and music. Roll.
You this young is the people. Intro to Pretty Woman?
Yeah, on their record. It's not. They didn't make, I mean, it's a cover, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's the song that precedes Pretty Woman.
Oh, I bet it sucks.
You bet what sucks?
The cover of Pretty
play
Woman.
Play it right now.
On. It's one of their biggest hits.
It's actually phenomenal, but okay.
Won't you pardon me?
I mean, it's better than the intro.
Now imagine it goes.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't help it. I was just listening, like, what on earth? And then I was like, surely there's like, you know, because we've done that before, where we accidentally get like a bad version of a song or whatever. And I was like, oh, that must be what happened here. But then I look up and Kevin's like.
Listen, you just stick to your K-pop.
Oh, ouch.
I'll play K-pop next.
I'll stick to my BTS.
Jump up to the microphone.
The thing about today, we have a, I guess it's a copy machine that you guys pretty much use as a printer, right?
Yeah.
It's both.
But I was
not today.
Thinking about my generation, especially when I went to law school. It was pretty much just learning how to Xerox things. Like, I spent so many hours in the law library, like, shoving the spine down so that you'd get, you know, like, did you guys have to do that in college? Or were you past that by then?
I mean, we were
using Xerox machines to copy books. Completely foreign to you?
We did that with, like, we would steal music that way.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Like sheet music for choir.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They would buy, like, three of that actual booklets and then just make copies of the rest and be like, shh.
The Great Choir Bandits.
But, but we didn't, like, make copies of the books themselves. No.
Yeah, we were kind of, because the internet, mostly, because you guys did all the legwork of putting that stuff, like Xeroxing that stuff onto the internet.
Yeah.
And we just got to enjoy it. Mm. I do have some experience just with doing it in general, though. And yeah, it is terrible.
I had a summer,
terrible to scan stuff.
Summer like temp job in college where I ended up becoming the copy guy. Because it was broken one day, like not working, and everybody's like, well, copy machine's not working. And I just opened the front door, pulled some stuff out.
Of course you did.
Removed the paper jam. And then from that point, every time something went wrong with the machine, they're like, where's Kevin?
You intimidated that copy machine.
Yeah. It's really complicated to pull out a thing and then take the paper jam out.
Guess what I have in my house for the first time? Halloween lights.
Oh, cool.
You do.
Like orange ones? Purple?
Orange and purple.
Very nice.
They flash back and forth.
Fun. Are they inside or outside?
Indoor, outdoor, yeah.
Outside.
Fine.
Like on the rooftop or just on the windowsill?
No, just on my little handrail going up the
stairs. Oh, okay, cool. That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of like the Christmas lights. I don't mind doing them on the row of like hedges and stuff in front of the house, but I don't know how to put them up on the roof and none of that.
Yeah.
That's too much work.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. It's very festive.
Yeah.
I wanted to get like a door decoration, but then it's like, well, Halloween's tomorrow, so never mind.
Yeah, I'm like.
Maybe next year.
These
that's
lights,
a good call. I like that, right?
These lights only go for a couple hours, then they turn off automatically.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching them like an old man.
Make sure they turn off?
No, make sure they stay on because I only get to use them for like three days.
So
I'm really excited to put up my Christmas tree, and I usually wait until Black Friday. I might go like a week early this year.
Where are you going?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I might go ahead and put it up like a week early.
Oh, I thought you meant like go get the Christmas tree.
No, I have an artificial tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever done that? You ever like gone out and like cut one down? I only did it once in my life.
Sounds like too much work.
It was a lot of work. It was.
I've never had a car suitable for that
either.
You're
down on your hands and knees. It's all freezing.
Yeah.
And it always takes longer to cut them than you
think. I mean, the real ones smell amazing, but they're such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, just clean up afterwards. I know that there are different kinds of trees, but I don't want to learn that stuff.
Then you gotta throw it into the lake after you're done.
Oh, shut up. I didn't know the trees floated.
You mean the material boats are made of?
Yeah. I thought light wood would sink to the bottom.
Wood doesn't float, right?
Only witches float. Nick and I went out there. I swear to God, this is true. He was about 10. And we went out there at like 11 p.m. dressed in black, like burglars.
No one will ever know.
Just throw it in there. Let's get back in the house. Back in the house. And it just circled the lake for like 3 months.
Did you guys have like the Mission Impossible music playing?
Oh, it was.
It's got all the ornaments still on it that say the Glovers. It's like, chuck it. Chuck it.
And Clara Luna, Maureen's best friend, said, we all know who it was.
Well, yeah.
I'll be honest, if it was my neighborhood, everybody would know it was me.
We all know the day through your Christmas tree. I said, you know how we know? Because it spent like a month on the side of your house.
Yeah.
And then it was gone.
And then it's in the water.
And there was a tree in the water.
That's totally a move I would pull.
That like, Dave was dressed like one of the Joker's henchmen.
He's like the Hamburglar out there.
True, I was.
He's like rubble, it'll sink.
Wash you, Lograd, and I'm like, don't worry, it'll go right to the bottom.
Oh, man, I'm laughing because I've so done that. Not that specific thing, but something like it.
Razor's Edge?
Oh, yes. Let me pull up what I want to talk about today. I've got a good one for you. I just can't remember what it is.
This is going to be great.
Is it about how wood doesn't sink?
Oh, okay, here it is. Okay, so at certain schools across the country, dozens of schools across the country, actually, Crocs are being banned as a form of footwear because Gen Alpha keeps tripping and falling over their own Crocs.
Oh, my Lord.
So schools are banning the shoes over safety concerns.
They're too dumb to wear shoes.
Well, so a lot of times, like, these dress codes are saying, like, okay, you have to have a strap or back at the heel. And Crocs do have that. They have a strap, but most people just let that mm-hmm. hang down. And look, my nieces wear Crocs, and it is very adorable to see them running around in their tiny little Crocs. But I have always been a Crocs hater, kind mm-hmm. of. But I'm starting to realize the older I get, I think I hate Crocs so much because I'm terrified of how much I would love them if I slid a pair onto my feet.
Mm. So you've never had them on?
I've never tried them on. I mean, people say they're like a cloud. They're the comfiest thing you could ever wear. And now they have the cute little
little charms.
Yeah, the charms you can put on the Crocs. Prior to that, I saw absolutely no appeal. Now that I know you can put little diamonds on them, I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe.
Try to just wear them at home.
Maybe. I mean, they could
become... Wouldn't that be awful? Like, what happened to Rachel?
She fell down the stairs wearing her Crocs.
Wearing her Crocs.
But yeah, I'm wondering if there's anything like that for you guys where you're like, oh, I just find myself hating on this thing. But I know secretly if I were to get involved with it somehow, it would be my life.
You know the classic. Pickleball.
Oh, yeah.
No one would love pickleball more than me. But the way I was introduced to it a few years ago, I just developed such a hatred for it.
Mm-hmm. You'd become a pickleballer if you had the right circumstances.
I would add that to chocolatiering. I would be such a jerk, though.
Too competitive?
I'm such a jerk playing sports.
I think the four of us should go out and play some morning.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think it would be fun. I think it'd be a nice intro to it.
Well, Wheeler and I can't be on the same team.
No. Okay. Well, we need to be foes.
We don't even have to play doubles. We can play like one-on-one, like you two against each other, me and Andrew against each other. That'd be kind of fun.
I'm already out of breath. Just thinking about it.
You got anything like that, Wheels, where you're like, I feel like I hate it because I actually identify with it a little too much?
I think the closest thing that I don't hate it, but I have no desire to do it. But I think if I did, I'd probably have fun and enjoy it. Probably play golf.
Oh.
Like, I would probably end up liking it, but I'd have to be, I don't like doing things I'm not good at. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, I'm good at other things. I'd rather do those things than waste my time doing something I'm not good at. But if I put in months and months of practice and I was good enough, I probably would end up enjoying it.
Here's exactly how I feel about golf. And you can't do this, but I would love it. If I could just ride in the cart
You can do that.
Oh, I know, but you can't really. Like, if you go out with three other guys and you're like, hey, I'm just going to ride in the cart, guys. Like,
Dave's a cart
trust
bunny.
Me, you can't. Yeah, I'm just eye candy.
Yeah.
But I love being out there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love the pace of it. I love eating hot dogs at the turn. It's all great. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about snow skiing. I would love to go out to my buddy Scott's place in Keystone during ski season and just wear a sweater and drink hot toddies.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
That seems like it'd be easier to get away with.
More doable.
I've done the golf thing.
Yeah.
I've done the ride along where like family members are going out and they're all going to play and I don't feel like playing, but I'll just go hang out. That's fun.
Yeah. I've done that too. And I've never actually golfed. I've only ridden on the cart and I had a blast. I thought it was a good time.
It is fun.
Andrew, anything that you hate on that you think, oh, I wish I could secretly do that?
Boy, you know, the one I would love to play golf. That's always been a big one for me. So I'll jump on the golf cart, so to speak. But the other big one, and I know that I already know that I love this, but poker. I love card games of all kinds, and in particular, I really, really love playing poker. I'm very good at playing poker, but I have a terror of like getting too far into it because I just think it will consume my life and
crippling gambling addiction.
Yeah, well, honestly, yeah, it will lead to making bad choices and decisions that I have thus far in my life.
That's very mature of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so while I really love playing poker and I love doing like a poker night or whatever, I am also very protective of being like, let's use like pennies or no money at all, because I'm just I know that I have that. I think I would be susceptible to that sort of thing.
Have you ever gone to a casino and played like real poker? Or video poker?
I haven't, for that specific reason, because I'm just kind of like, I
don't want to.
I have watched from afar and thought,
yep, that's me.
And then I've gone, nope, no, it's not. It sure isn't. It sure can't
be. Hot take. I don't like playing in poker rooms unless you're playing in a tournament. I just don't like the idea that somebody who's more committed to throwing their money around can basically bully the table or bully the pot or whatever. Yeah. Versus a tournament where you all have the same number of chips, and then it's more of a competition. It's more about how can we all compete with the same amount of resources. I enjoy that.
What if I got us all Crocs for Christmas, and then I got us all charms for the Crocs that
are you
reflect
rich?
Our personalities?
Because Crocs are expensive.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're like $100
or
something.
The fancy ones.
Really?
There are some that are like $30 or $35, but the fancy ones are...
I thought that was the appeal. They were like
$10. It was, until they got popular.
But there's so many cute charms. Wheels, you can get a baseball charm for your Crocs.
Oh, my gosh.
Crocs used to be the thing that, like, if you were the kind of person who went to Walmart in your pajamas, you wore Crocs. I thought they were, like, $5.
Those were the OGs, but if you go, like, look at this. I mean, the plain ones are, like, $35.
Okay.
And then the rest of them, like, there are fancy ones that are $100.
What does that mean?
Like, they're all decorated. So, like, that's the thing. If they're plain, like, just blue or black or red... they're basically $30, $35. Hmm. But if they have, like, the American flag on them, they're $40 or $50. If they have Scooby-Doo on them, they're, like, $99.
What do you wear at home in the house? Are you socks people?
Socks, yeah.
Slipper people?
Yeah. And then if I have to take the trash out or something, I throw in my Birkenstocks.
Yeah, same.
With my socks. Or without my socks.
Sometimes it eaves me out a little bit to walk in my socks on, like, a hard floor.
Really?
It's kind of dirty.
Oh, I skate. Hmm.
Because you just don't want the bottoms of your feet to look dirty.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I like to skate. When you're ever on the kitchen floor, I always skate across it.
Have you ever started running on the kitchen floor in socks and then you fall?
I've never fallen, but I will run from the carpet to the other part and then slide.
That sounds fun.
It is.
Awesome. I almost died last night. I was spraying Febreze all over the place.
Oh, no, and it got on the hardwood.
Got on the hardwood.
Oh, I've had that happen actually, like in the kitchen by the stove. If you're like frying up a burger, sometimes the grease gets down there. I've done that where you're like, what?
I did one of those where you're like, g-dum, 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 g-dum.
Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
The little, what do you call that? The spinning feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really close. But it found me with a thing of Febreze next to me.
That feeling when you fall and you hit the ground and you know how stupid it was that you just fell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it hurts and you're just like,
yeah.
This one's on me.
How did I fall?
You're doing personal triage.
How did I just fall?
I've never really hurt myself, though. Not bad. Now, I've never had to go to an ER or something.
Yeah. I don't think I've gone to an ER for hurting myself. But I've definitely hurt myself. I walked into the stinking wall yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm like looking back at watching what my dog's doing, and I just slammed right into the damn wall. I thought I was clear. I thought I was walking through the doorway.
I did that in the newsroom the other day. I just like ran into the corner, and then I was like, I just ran into the corner. And a couple of the reporters chortled at me.
One time I hit, because I'm just clumsy, I hit the awards cabinet.
Ooh.
Really hard, and it made a noise that made that you don't want a glass awards cabinet to make.
You don't want those DGS awards falling on you.
No. Mm-hmm.
And boy, they were mad at me for doing that.
Be careful.
Dead man walking. What do you think of this remake?
I like the original better.
Oh. Yeah, you know, the original is hard to beat.
You're both wrong. It's the greatest remake of all time.
This is way better than the Bowie and Jagger one.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one.
That one was cheese.
Yeah, cheese. Wow. Yikes. Yeah. You know what's weird? Wheels, you know this. Having an adult child. Like, as you go through
full-on
life.
Adult, yeah.
You know, you're a teenager, then you're in your 20s, then you have a family, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like Nick will be 30 in January. Full-grown man, works as a political consultant with Michael Kelly, and I'm texting him like, hey, how you doing, buddy? And I'm expecting like, good, seventh grade's treating me well, you know? And he's like, oh, election season's kicking my butt, and, yeah. You know, working late. And I'm like, okay, you're a man.
Yep. It is a little, I'm not going to lie, it is a little weird.
Yeah.
But cool, too, though.
But to them, like I'm sure cool way. Like, you know what's weird? Having an old dad.
Yeah, my dad's old.
Yeah.
I think
my kid says that she has the coolest dad, though.
Well, she'd be wrong, wouldn't she?
I mean, it's a matter of opinion. No, it is kind of strange. Not strange, because your whole life, so much of what you're doing is, I want to look out for the kid. I want to look out for the kid. Hey, you might need help. Hey, I can help you with this if you're having trouble with her. And now it's kind of like you don't really need to, unless there's something specific that they're going to seek you out for, as opposed to like let me guide
you. You don't know what to do with your hands.
You don't need to guide anybody anymore. Like, okay, yeah, you're smarter than I was at your age. So
until the grandkids come along, then you can tell them and judge them every way that they parent the wrong way.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to handle that.
I just hope I get a chance.
Yeah, be cool.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. So everything's election, wall-to-wall, everywhere you go, television, radio, talking to your friends. No one's really thinking that much about is COVID back? Is COVID around to any degree? Flu season, what do we have? How bad does it look? We have a very good friend named Dr. Tiffany Osborne from WashU who's been with us all the way through COVID and beyond. Good friend of the show, and she joins us now. Tiffany, great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you.
So line us out. What do people need to be careful about in the next couple of months?
Sure. So let me start with kind of where we're at. And looking over the data, the respiratory illnesses across the country, COVID, influenza, in general, they're remaining around stable and on sort of a low to moderate level. Now, I looked at Missouri data specifically, and it was currently unavailable through the CDC. I did go to their Department of Health website and had a difficult time finding the information. So I looked at all the states surrounding Missouri, Illinois, Kansas, Arkansas, Iowa. All of those states right now, the levels for respiratory illnesses, COVID, influenza, RSV, are all categorized at low at this current time. Mm-hmm. But you remember that I look at wastewater, emergency department visits, as well as the percent of positive tests. So we look at three different things. So when I look at wastewater, COVID levels, now remember that the variant that we're in right now is KP311. So those levels for Kansas, Iowa, and Illinois are all low. For Arkansas, it's moderate. For influenza, they're all low, but starting to increase. Mm-hmm. For RSV, all those states are low, but starting to increase. When we look at emergency department visits, COVID, influenza, RSV are all at a low level, and they're remaining stable. Influenza, stable across Kansas, Iowa, and Illinois. But the border of Illinois, looking at Indiana and at our lower border of Tennessee, the levels are starting to increase. And then when we look at tests, And you guys have brought up before the fact that testing might not be as accurate to give us a good idea on a national or state level mm-hmm. because so many people do home tests now. But in general, what it's showing is that COVID is decreasing and influenza and RSV are low but starting to increase. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, that's a great report. So, Tiffany, setting aside anti-vax people, because they're their own, you know, subgroup of people, but just looking at, like, floaters like me who don't do things as timely as they should, is this the time to be getting these vaccines? Because I know people will always say, like, oh, don't get it until after this or don't get it before that. Are we in that time now?
Oh, that's a great question. And this is exactly the right time to be getting vaccinated right now in September, October, maybe into November. This is the time where you really want to go ahead and get vaccinated. And when we're talking about vaccination, the question is, like, who gets vaccinated? And for COVID and influenza, it's everybody who is over 6 months can get vaccinated. RSV is a little bit different, so you can talk with your provider about that. But yeah, right now is a great time for everybody to get vaccinated. In fact, if you look at hospitalizations through October 2023 through March 2024, if you were vaccinated, let's say you're younger, you're 18 to 50. If you were vaccinated versus not vaccinated, the chance of you being hospitalized, if you were vaccinated, was 3%. And if you were not vaccinated, the 78% of people who were hospitalized were those that had not been vaccinated. So, and then for as you get older, your immune system also ages, and so it's even more important. But the difference between, let's say, if you were between 65 and 75, the percent of people in that age group who are hospitalized, only 8% of them were vaccinated, mm-hmm. and 58% of them were not vaccinated. So it really helps to get vaccinated, especially the older that you get.
Talking to our friend Dr. Tiffany Osborne with WashU. So, Tiffany, I know that everyone is different, clearly, but if people get the COVID and the flu, especially if they double up, should they plan on a couple of days of feeling a little logy?
Yeah, you know, for everybody, it's different, and I don't think we can really predict who is going to have a reaction and who's not. But I can tell you there was one year where I felt like not great the next 24 hours. And then this year I got both of the vaccines at one time and I didn't have any problems at all. I give myself typically, I want to do it at a point in time where I've got about 24 hours of leeway so mm-hmm. that if I don't feel great, I'm not expected to be at work the next day.
Do you give yourself shots?
I don't.
Oh, good. I was going to say, that was going to creep me out.
Really?
I just pictured her giving herself a shot in the arm. I'm like, oh, that's creepy.
I feel like if I was a doctor, I'd do that.
Yeah, let me tell you that if I could get a hold of the stuff and do it my own self at home and not have to worry about standing in any lines, then I probably would. But I did also want to tell you about treatment.
Sure.
If that's okay.
You bet.
Okay, great. So there are basically two types of treatments, Paxlovid and Remdesivir. And Paxlovid is something that you can get that's oral. So if you start to have symptoms, then, you know, you want to get tested. You get the duration is about 5 days for that. That's all oral treatment. Remdesivir is harder because that's an IV treatment. But if you have complications because of the medications you're on or whatever, there's another thing that's available for you. And then also with influenza, you can be treated, but you have to be, I won't say have to, but it's best if you're treated within the first 24 to 72 hours, 48 hours-ish, if you want treatment for the flu.
Very good. That's Dr. Tiffany Osborne. Thank you, Tiff. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
That's so helpful.
Oh, yeah.
It's good mm-hmm. to know.
Absolutely.
Wheels, you want to do a stairway?
Sure. What would you guys like to do? I got a lot of choices here. We got some baseball stuff. I got a story about drug use. however you want to play it. I got choices. Or if you want me to pick, I'll pick.
Do the baseball one. We haven't talked a lot about sports.
Good. All right. So this will tie into something too. We made the announcement the other day on Monday that the roundtables that we've been doing kind of periodically with Bernie and Tom and Matt Pauly and me, those are going to be every day now, starting next Monday and rolling through the off season. So
congrats. That's
the,
awesome.
The reason I wanted to point it out is, and this is going to be very braggy, but I'm sorry, you will not find anywhere four people with the baseball background that the four of us have talking Cardinals offseason baseball every day anywhere else. You're just not going to.
Now I know why you didn't include me. It would have brought that average so far down.
But we'll be
Dave
doing...
was on the 1974 All-Star team.
Yeah. So this will get to the topic in a second because this is the reason I'm bringing the promotion up for this. So it'll be every day at noon. So it'll stream on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. It'll be a podcast available for download later. And it'll also air at 8 p.m. every night, unless we have a game, right? So if we have Thursday night football, it won't air that night. Or later on, if we had a Cardinals game, it wouldn't air at that time. But for the time being, it's going to be, so you have your choice. You can watch it as a TV show. You can listen to it as a podcast. You can listen to it live when you're at work. Or you can listen to it later on at 8 o'clock at night. So we're going to be doing that. And one of the reasons that I think this is, the reason I wanted to drive home that point of four people with very long, distinct baseball backgrounds is that this, to me, is the most interesting Cardinals offseason since I've been here for sure, and I came in 2006. But I would say at least of this century, which sounds crazy, but it's, you know, it's only 24 years. Because in the early 2000s, the Cardinals were a powerhouse, right? You had the MV3, you're in the World Series. 2006, you win the World Series. And really, through that time, every offseason has been, and the question has been, how can you get better for the next season? That's been the question all along. This season, this offseason, that's not the question. It's a completely different circumstance than we've ever seen from this team, or I shouldn't say ever, but in this amount of time, in the last 20, 25 years. We've never gone into an offseason wondering, how many players are they going to trade away? What direction do they go with the types of players that they want? Who's going to end up, who's going to still be here? Bernie has a piece up on his YouTube channel. The best way to find it is to go on Twitter and put MIKLISZ in the search bar. You'll get to Bernie's handle. It's B_Miklas, and all of his links are there. But you can go on YouTube and watch his video. He says the Cardinals, in his opinion, should trade Nolan Arenado, that it's the right move for the time being. And if you want to get into the details of it, you can go check out his video. But the point is, we've not really been in this situation before. This is unique to the 2024-2025 offseason. And I think there's so many interesting levels to explore because normally it would be, who are you going to target in the trades? Who are you going to target in free agency? And then maybe which young players might be able to impact it. Now it's all of that combined with who might you be sending out the door and why?
Let me ask you this. So I know that the DeWitt and Mozeliak and Heinbloom and many others work as a team.
Yeah, yeah.
And they bounce ideas off each other and they come to a decision. Who, if you had to pick out an individual human, is the real motivating force for changes? Is it still Mo? Is he going to be the one coming up with the ideas that DeWitt can shoot down? Is it Heinbloom? Is he going to be more the guy who's like, it's going to be my club in a couple of years? I think we should go this direction, that direction.
So just going based on what they said, and I think what they're saying is what they're going to do because it makes sense. It's not irrational or weird. I mean, number one, shot caller is Bill DeWitt Jr. Right. If he doesn't want it, it's not happening. And if he does want it, it's going to happen. Like he is the ultimate guy that if you don't like the direction of the team or you do like the direction of the team.
And how's his baseball acumen?
He's a smart baseball guy. He's been around the sport for a long time. He's an active owner. He's not a passive owner. He's okay. Not somebody that just sits back and counts money.
Yeah.
He's actively involved in discussions about players. So when I've interviewed him in the past, and I haven't in a while, but I mean, it's been maybe a year, year and a half, something like that. But he knows the minor league players in the Cardinals organization. He knows who they are, what they're about, what their skills are, what their ceiling is. Like he knows that stuff. It's not just on a sheet in front of him, and it's not just being explained to him by Mo or in this case now Heinbloom and all of that. But he's the shot caller. But the way they described it is that Mo is still the boss, but anything that could impact beyond 2025, they're going to be having Heinbloom's input because he's going to be the shot caller. He's going to be in Mo's chair. in a year. So anything that could impact beyond this year, which is, guys, it's everything. It's literally everything. There's not much you're going to do that impacts this year that doesn't have any impact on the future. So he's probably going to be a significant voice in every significant baseball decision. And certainly about when it comes to hiring player development people, hiring special instructors, those kinds of things, that's certainly going to be his purview. When it comes to the major league roster, he's going to have a bit of it on all, have input, I would think, on anything that they're going to do, adding or subtracting.
252 DGS. I have a couple really good friends named Chris, who are restaurateurs, Chris Saraceno and Chris LaRocca, who owns Crush Red. And he let me know that they're doing something really cool on Election Day. They're giving away free pizzas, cheese pizzas. All you have to do is come in wearing an I Voted sticker, buy a Sodi, and you get a free cheese pizza.
Nice.
Isn't that great?
Wow. You know the Crushed Red guys?
Yeah. They're just like my best friend.
God.
Yeah.
Love that place.
Besides Andy Cohen and John Hamm.
Yeah.
They're probably my two best friends.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know.
Ricky.
Close third.
Yeah. Don't want Ricky to hear that. Course,
close fourth.
Yeah.
I faved Ricky's tweet last night, and I'm like, I wonder if he knows it's me. And then I was like, he definitely doesn't and doesn't care.
Oh, that's not true.
But he tweeted, Keanu actually has a pretty good swing because that commercial that keeps airing during the World Series.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the commercial? I don't even know what it's for. It's just Keanu Reeves like swinging a stick.
No, I haven't seen
akin
that.
Akin to a baseball bat.
Hmm. So speaking of kids, baseball bats and balls, a kid kicked their ball into your backyard?
Yeah. This weekend, I was just kind of chilling on my like back sun porch thing, and it's on the second level of my apartment building. And you can hear these kids playing basketball, and then you hear, oh, no. And then...
it's all Lady Zimmerman.
No, no. Don't ever say that. The basketball like comes up and like hits the roof of the garage and then like falls into the fenced in backyard. And I'm like, ooh, what are they going to do? And you hear them, they're like, oh man, come on. Why'd you do that? Oh, dude, just go get it. Just go get it. Cause like they didn't know I was up there. And I was thinking like, should I go down there and get the ball? But no, they figured it out. They snuck into the backyard and grabbed it. I thought that was probably more fun for them than having old Lady Zimmerman.
Man, you said if I ever see you in my
yard.
Yeah. So I got out my gun, obviously.
You kids. Dude, I got that. There, I must have done that kind of thing 1,000 times as a kid.
Oh my god!
Sounds like the kids were talking like you do now.
You got to figure out: can you? Do you want to go open their fence and go through? Do you climb the fence? Do they have a dog?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be, you know, you got to know your neighborhood.
Yep. What am I going to get in more trouble for?
Yeah,
losing the baseball. Or,
well, you can't lose the baseball because then the game's over.
See, we had no fences in South Rock City.
Oh, okay.
Literally, I don't remember a single house when I was a kid, at least, that had a fence.
We had the neighborhood where I was a young kid, everybody had a fenced-in yard, and they were all the four-foot-tall chain-link fenced, and it was just like a graph of fenced-in yards all over there. So we usually played in the front more often than not, but a foul ball might go over a roof, or you might hit a home run and it would go over the roof and you got to go get it. And some neighbors, you knew they were totally cool. Yeah. They were like, yeah, go get it anytime, or they'll throw it out to you. Others, you're like,
yep, we had a couple of those.
Man, are they home? Damn it, they're home.
Yeah.
We got to sneak. And then you get yelled at like, you stay out of my yard.
Ours was more, this sounds like I'm one of the little rascals, but it was like you miss a pitch and it goes into a ditch full of weeds and you lose it.
Oh, it's the worst. You got to find it, though.
Because you don't have another ball.
That's it.
Yeah.
Our worst
Who's
thing
got
was
99 cents.
Yeah, our worst thing was we used to play a fast pitch tennis ball game at the at the grade school. We would draw a chalk strike zone on the wall, on the brick wall, but when you would foul it off, it would land on the roof. And we would, like, do we try to climb the pipes to get up there? And a few times we did.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.